Imagine for a moment that you're standing beside a pond of water. The sun is shining and it is a calm day. And so the water is still and undisturbed. However, as you stood at the water's edge, you began to throw some stones which were lying around into the pond. As these stones plopped into the still water, they all did the same thing. They created circular ripples. Where the stone fell into the water, it made a big ripple in a small, tight circle. And then as that ripple expanded out into a bigger circle, it got smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappeared. Now I'm sure we've all engaged in such activity or watched such a thing taking place. Throwing stones into water and the waves or ripples that they make expanding out in circular shapes until they vanish away. I'm sure we can all picture such a scene in our mind's eye. However, the reason why I have described what happens when a stone or rocks are thrown into water is because this very fittingly illustrates for us the effect the Christian ought to have in this world. Just as the stone affects the water, so the believer, the person who is saved and is a Christian, should have an impact upon the environment that God has cast them into. The Bible is very clear in regard to how God's people should disturb the norm in what is happening in this world. Indeed, we could say the Word of God teaches us that the life of a believer should create ripples in the pond of this world. Think of Christ's words to his disciples in Matthew 5. He said to them, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." Now both salt and light have a great impact on the environment in which they're placed. Where light shines, darkness will be driven away. And where salt is applied, unsavouriness and decay will be banished. Salt and light will always impact and change that which they come into contact with. This is what will always happen. When salt and light come into contact with other things, they will have an impact and they will change those things. This then is what Christ is saying to his people. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Therefore your lives are to have an impact, a dramatic impact on this dark and unsavoury world. This is exactly what Christ was saying. We're not to be bland people and just go along with the norm. No, our lives are to have an impact for God in a world of darkness and decay. Think also of what the Apostle Paul told the believers at Philippi in Philippians 2. He said this, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shines as light in the world." This is one of the greatest reasons why God has worked and wrought salvation in his people. That they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom they shine as lights in the world. We are to be a contrast. A complete contrast to this perverse and crooked society and world in which we live. Christians, this is the life that God has called you to. You're to live in such a manner that the lives of others will be affected. Make no mistake about it. God has not called us to be like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are not to pass by on the other side and ignore the need of others. But our lives are to cause ripples in this world that lies in wickedness. The Christian's life is to have an impact upon this world. Now in our study of 1 Peter, we have been considering the general subject of behaving like a believer. Behaving like a believer. This is what Peter really brings into focus in verses 7 to 11 in 1 Peter 4. We have already noted in these verses how the believer is to behave in regard to self. This is what verse 7 brings before us. Then, in the next verse, verse 8, we noted last time how the believer is to behave in regard to the saints. We are to have fervent love among ourselves. However, today, as we again return to this passage, I want us to consider the words of verse 9. And the subject that I want us to consider here in this verse is how the believer is to behave in regard to strangers. How the believer is to behave in regard to strangers. See again what it says here in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. The exhortation that Peter gives here is, use hospitality one to another. Now this phrase, use hospitality, means more than just inviting someone over for a meal. This is very often how we use this phrase. This word hospitality is considered in this sense today. We talk about the hospitality industry. And that's people who are going out for a meal and enjoying a good meal. And this is how we use the word hospitality in our society today. But this phrase, use hospitality, as it is used here, could literally be rendered, be friends of strangers or be lovers of strangers. Be lovers of strangers. Therefore, Peter here is drawing the attention of God's people to how they should behave in regard to strangers. How they should treat those they do not know and are not normally acquainted with. That is what Peter is getting at here. That's what he's speaking about. Sometimes there is a bit of confusion about this verse. For after Peter says, use hospitality, he adds the words, one to another, which seem to imply that he's not talking about strangers here. If they're to use hospitality one to another, well, that can't be strangers. But remember, in this letter, Peter's not writing to a church. He's not writing to a church where the believers all knew each other. But he's writing to Christians that were scattered abroad and were strangers to each other. And this is what we learn in the very opening verse of 1 Peter. See again what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter says, or it says here, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This then explains why Peter says what he does in our text today. He writes to God's people, and he tells them to be lovers of strangers, even among yourselves, even when you meet another Christian who you do not know. You're to be lovers of strangers. Now, before we consider this subject itself, we should notice Peter teaches of Christian behavior. And remember, this is what he's doing here in these verses. This is the general subject that runs through them. Behaving like a believer. But as Peter teaches on this subject, we can say the ripples are moving out in a circular fashion. In verse 7, he starts off with how the believer is to behave in regard to self. How the believer is to behave in regard to his own life. And really the ripples aren't going out very far here. It's just concentrating on the believer's own soul. Then in verse 8, the focus is on how the believer is to behave in regard to the saints. Now the ripples of the believer's life are moving out. It's taking in the saints in verse 8. We're to love one another. And then as we come to verse 9, we are brought to see how the believer is to behave in regard to strangers. See what is happening in this passage. The ripples are moving out. This is the result of what happens as the Christian lives for God in this world. The ripples of the life of their life will go out further and further and wider and affect more and more people. Oh, how important it is that we behave like believers. And really, this is what we see here. How important it is that we behave like believers, because it will not only affect our own lives, it will not only affect the lives of saints, but it will also affect the lives of strangers. And see, Peter here is building up momentum as he preaches, as he teaches. How important it is that we as Christ's people behave like believers. Because this will have a big impact upon the lives of many, many, many people in this world. How then is the believer to behave in regard to strangers? How are we to behave in regard to strangers? Well, notice with me three things here. The first thing I want us to note is the principle of caring for strangers. The principle of caring for strangers. Reading through the scriptures, it quickly becomes apparent that God has much to say on this subject. The subject of how his people should treat strangers. Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, this matter is addressed time and time again. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 10 and the verse 19, the Lord told the people of Israel before they went into the promised land Love ye therefore the stranger. Love ye therefore the stranger. In the New Testament, the writer of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13 verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Loving and caring for those who are not amongst our friends and acquaintances is then very much a biblical principle and truth. Therefore, this is something that every Christian needs to take seriously and consider carefully. Consider carefully that which God says. Don't think for one moment. Don't think for one moment this is not an important matter. And this is a mistake that maybe you could make, easily make. Is this really an important matter? Is this really something we need to be concerned about? How we treat strangers? It is. Because God addresses this repeatedly. He doesn't just speak about it on a one-off in Scripture, but repeatedly throughout Scripture. He teaches us how we as Christians should live in regard to strangers and how we should treat them. As we think of this biblical principle of caring for strangers, I want us to note from God's Word a number of things as to why this is an important matter. Why this is such an important matter. In the first place, the Christian should be careful to be helpful to strangers because it is a command. We should care for strangers simply because it is a command. God commands His people not only to be loving and caring towards their brethren, as verse 8 teaches us, but also to be loving and caring towards all those that they come into contact with. And God teaches us this. God commands this of us. There are many scripture verses we could turn to. But turn with me to the book of Exodus just for a moment. Exodus chapter 22. And notice what the Lord says to His people here. And remember, Exodus 22 contains part of the law. God was instructing His people here in this portion of Scripture how they were to live. It contains the law of God. Exodus 22 verse 21 tells us, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall neither afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Notice here how serious a thing it is to vex a stranger. The word vex means to harass or be unkind. Notice how seriously God takes it. It is to break His commandment. And there's punishment, as verse 24 tells us. He will bring the sword upon the land. And your wives will be widows. And your children fatherless. Why? Because they were unkind to strangers. And this is what God is saying. The same truth is also brought before us in Leviticus 19, in verses 33 and 34. In Galatians 6 and 10, it puts it this way. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God's command to His people is, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Think of that. Think of the way that is put. As we have opportunity, as men come into contact with us, as the Lord brings people into our lives from different areas and different places, we're to do good to all men. All men. This then needs to be our mindset, because it is Christ's command to His people. It's Christ's command. And so this is important, to care for strangers, because it is a command. We can also say it is important because it is Christ's likeness. To care for strangers is to behave in a Christ-like manner. Think of how Christ has treated His people. Think of how Christ has treated you. In our natural fallen state, we were strangers to God. The Bible speaks of how man in sin knows not God. God told the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 2 and 12 that before they were saved, they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And this is true of all men by nature. We are without Christ, having no hope and without God in this world. This is our natural state, strangers to God. Yet what did Christ do? He loved us. And he gave himself for us. We who were in sin, strangers to him. Yeah, more than strangers to him, his very enemies. He loved us and gave himself for us. Therefore, when we show love and compassion to strangers, we are behaving in a Christ-like way. We are treating others exactly like Christ has treated us. You should also note that when we behave in an unkind and evil way towards others, we behave in a devilish way. And we should never forget that. When we treat others badly, unkindly, harshly, we behave in a devilish way. For this is how the devil behaved and does behave. Think of how he treated Eve, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He came and his whole business was to hurt and injure them. Think of how he treated Job. He wanted to destroy Job. Think also here in 1 Peter chapter 5 in the verse 18, we read about the devil. Or verse 8 rather, 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. This is what the devil does. He is the complete opposite to Christ. His business is to devour people and to hurt and injure them. And so when we don't behave in a loving and caring way towards strangers, we behave like the devil himself. This is why this is an important subject. Because as we care for strangers, it is a command of God. It is Christ's likeness. Also, we can say that this is an important subject because as we care for strangers, it commends. It is that which commends the gospel to men and women. And that's what it does. When we are kind to strangers, to those that are not our normal acquaintances, we commend the gospel of Christ. Think again of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now we don't know anything about the poor man that was beaten and left for dead at the side of the road, except for the terrible things that happened to him. But imagine for a moment that this man was an unbeliever. Imagine this poor man really was a skeptic. And he didn't attend God's house. And he had no time for the gospel. And he just lived a careless, materialistic life. And then these things happened to him. Now as the priest and the Levite passed by and refused to help him, think of what he would not only have thought of these men, but also thought of their religion. Think of that. He witnessed the Levite and priest, and he knew exactly who they were because of the way they were dressed. And he could just about make it out that these were religious men. And yet they ignore him in his need. Surely he would have thought, well, their religion is worse than useless. It's completely pointless. It's got no power. It's no effect. If it is able to ignore me and all my need, well, it's worthless. But then, as the Good Samaritan came down the road and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sat him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Think of the impression this would have left on his mind. And then the next day, he learns that this Good Samaritan was a Christian. He belonged to Christ. He was a believer. He was one of those people that speak about being saved and born again. What a powerful impression that would have left upon him. It would have commended the gospel to this man. That's exactly what it would have done. And you see, this is why we need to, with all diligence, show love and care to strangers, because it commends the gospel of Christ. You see, the worth and value of a man's religion is tested in this world by how we treat others. We should never forget that. The worth of a man's religion is tested in this world by how we treat others. What people think of Christ, and let's put it another way, what people think of Christ is how you treat them. And that's a very solemn thing. Your behavior teaches people what they ought to think of Christ. And this is why it is so important that we care for strangers and we love all men and we're kind to them. Because when we treat them badly, people think very little of our Savior. They think very little of Him. Our dealings with strangers should commend Christ and His gospel to them. As God's people, we need to treat all men with care and love. For this is the command of God. This is Christ-like behavior. And because this is one of the most powerful ways we can commend the gospel to a world perishing in sin. This is the principle of caring for strangers. But then moving on quickly, notice with me also today, the practice of caring for strangers. God's word is clear that we are to use hospitality or be lovers of strangers. And this is the command. Yet, we need to consider how we are to show love to strangers. How we are to be kind to those who are outside our circle of friends and acquaintances. How are we to go about this? How are we actually to engage in this in a practical sense? There are many things that we could think of here, but notice with me three biblical principles which should always govern how we as Christ's people treat strangers. In the first place, the practice of caring for strangers involves friendliness. It involves friendliness. There are many examples of this in God's word. Again, think of the Good Samaritan. He was a friend to the poor beaten man and helped him in every way he could. He was a friend to him. The priest and the Levite, they weren't. They were so unfriendly. But the Good Samaritan was a friend to this man. And he helped him. In Genesis 18, that passage we read earlier, we're told of how Abraham treated strangers as they came to his tent. Turn back with me to Genesis 18 just for a moment. And read here, because this passage is actually referred to in the New Testament as an example of how we should treat strangers. It tells us where to be mindful, to entertain strangers. And then it speaks about Abraham and how he did this. And he entertained the angels. So this is a real example that we are to follow in how we treat strangers. Notice what it says here again in Genesis 18 verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that is unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them. Now think of the friendliness here. He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. Now notice those final words. Therefore are ye come to your servant. What was Abraham saying to these strangers? And of course the Lord was with them. But Abraham didn't know that. He was saying to him, you have come down my road. You have come to the door of my tent that I may do you good. That I might comfort you. That I might encourage you. That I might help you. That's exactly what he was saying to these men. You've come here that I might show you friendliness. This is what Abraham did with strangers. Think also of Christ. People complained that he was a friend of sinners. And of course he was. Every time a stranger came to him, he was a friend to them. And he brought great comfort into their lives. He brought healing. He brought feeding. He fed the multitudes. He brought teaching. He instructed them. He brought deliverance. All that met Christ, all these strangers that came to the Savior, he was a friend to every one of them. Now, this is the way we need to always behave in daily life. That's the point. This is the way we need to behave. Whether that's in the workplace, we need to be friendly to those that we work with. Whether that's in a shop, with the young lady at the checkout, we need to show ourselves friendly. Whether that's with a stranger, or just going about on our normal business, meeting strangers on the street or whatever. We are to be friendly. And let me say this as well. It is unbecoming of a Christian to be unfriendly. And I want you to understand that. It is unbecoming of a Christian to be unfriendly. And to be sour and unpleasant and crabbed. That's unbecoming of a Christian. Completely. And this is exactly what Peter is getting at. Use hospitality. Be lovers of strangers. Show yourself friendly. This is how we are to be the lovers of strangers. But then the practice of caring for strangers not only involves friendliness. And let me say this. There's many ways we can show ourselves friendly. And I'm not going to go into that today because it would take us forever. Take us forever. But read Genesis 18 here and how Abraham treated these visitors. And if you follow his example, you'll not go far wrong. But the practice of caring for strangers not only involves friendliness, it also involves faithfulness. Faithfulness. And by faithfulness, I mean caring for strangers involves sharing with them the gospel, telling them the good news of salvation. Again, the word of God teaches us this in many, many ways, and gives to us many, many examples. But perhaps the most striking example of this is how Christ spoke to the woman at the well in John 4. As the Savior that day rested beside the well, this woman of Samaria. And remember, this woman was despised in her own community. She was coming to the well that day by herself because she was really an outcast and no one wanted to associate themselves with her. No one wanted to be seen with her. She really was a stranger. But as she came along to draw water at the well, remember what the Lord Jesus said to her. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What the Lord Jesus really teaches us as he spoke to the woman at the well is that we should seek to use every opportunity to witness for him and of him to all who cross the path of our lives. Here was this woman, and she had crossed the path of Christ's life. He was sitting at the well resting, and this stranger came to him, and she was just going to draw water, and she would ignore the Savior, and she would just get on with her business. But Christ, he intervened. And he witnessed to this woman. He was faithful to her soul. And he told her what her greatest need was. It wasn't the water in the well. It was Christ himself. And he told her if she came by faith and took the water that he would give her, she would be converted and saved. This was a sermon he preached to her. And of course he used the ordinary circumstances that were there before him to turn the whole thing around and to bring the gospel to her. What an example we have here and how we are to treat strangers. Bringing to them the gospel. Telling them of Christ. And we should also note that implied in the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is the great truth that we are to be faithful to strangers. Going into all the world is going to people we do not know. Strangers. And telling them of Christ, the one who's able to save. And so, the practice of caring for strangers involves friendliness, it involves faithfulness, it also involves fairness. We are to treat all men fairly, no matter who they are or what they are. And that's so important as Christians. We are to treat all men fairly, no matter who they are or what they are. The prophet Jonah really struggled with this. And God sent him to preach to the Ninevites, a people he didn't like. He ran the opposite direction. The Ninevites were Gentiles. They were the enemies of the people of Israel. They worshipped false gods. They were pagans and wicked, immoral people. As a Jew then, Jonah did not want anything to do with these people. He was a Jew. They were Gentiles. Indeed, remember how the Jews looked upon Gentiles? As dogs. Here are these filthy, horrible people. I don't want anything to do with them. That was Jonah's mindset. Nevertheless, it was God's will that he went to these people who were strangers to him. and preach to them the way of salvation. It is the duty of the Christian to care for all men, no matter who they are or what they are, and to seek to win each and every person for Christ. It's our duty. Many years ago, I was involved in an outreach team, and we were working in a particular town one time. And the town was divided, probably 50-50 between Roman Catholic and Protestant. One side of the town was Protestant, the other side of the town was Roman Catholic. Virtually a complete divide. And we had covered all the houses, all the doors. We were knocking doors and giving out tracts and inviting people to the church. And we covered all the Protestant side of the town. And we were about to start the Roman Catholic side. And this individual said, well, you know, I don't feel called to these people. Oh, I don't feel called. I don't want to go near them. And he refused to go. Was he a lover of strangers? I think not. What a foolish way to behave. As if lost and perishing Protestants were more worthy than lost and perishing Roman Catholics. We are to treat all men fairly. And I must emphasize this in these days, especially when we get into a society that is becoming more and more godless and pagan. And we get into a society where there's every sort of horrible sinner we could say, and we're all horrible sinners. But sometimes people think of sodomites, well, they're just so horrible sinners, you wouldn't go near them. God calls us to be faithful to all men. To be a lover of strangers. Maybe in your workplace, there's someone, and boy, they are cantankerous, and they're just twisted by sin. And you can see how sin is so eating them and destroying them and making them into just horrible people. We're to be lovers of strangers, even in that context. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and 19, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul was the servant of all men. He made himself the servant of all men, that he might gain the more for Christ. He was a servant to Jews and Gentiles, to rich and poor, to learned and unlearned, to religious and heathen. He was a man that cared for the souls of all men without exception. This is how we are to care for strangers. With friendliness, with faithfulness, and with fairness. Is this the way that we treat others? I want you to think about that today. Is this how you treat those in your neighborhood? Those in your community, those in your work environment? This is the way we're commanded to treat them. And so we have here the practice in caring for strangers, the principle in caring for strangers. One last thing here quickly notice with me, and that is the precept in caring for strangers. See how our text concludes here, verse 9 in 1 Peter 4. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. After Peter tells God's people they are to use hospitality or to be lovers of strangers, he adds the words without grudging. The word grudging means grumbling or murmuring. In other words, what God's servant is saying here is we are to care for strangers and help our fellow men and women not in a reluctant or unwilling fashion. We are not to go about this work with a mean and half-hearted attitude, but with joy and generosity. We are to care for all who cross the path of our lives. And really this word, grudging, takes on a whole lot. We haven't time to go into it today. But it speaks of how we are to be lovers of strangers, even in a sacrificial way. Giving all that we have, and all that we are, to help our fellow men. Again, I refer back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's the example to follow. Did he care for the stranger he met in a grudging way? Not a bit of him. He did all that he could. And even he said to the innkeeper, if you spend more in his care until I come back, I will pay for it. I will pay for it. This is the way we are to go about this important work. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 tells us, God loveth a cheerful giver. And this implies to how we give in regard to strangers. I think it is an important point to note just in closing that having a loving care for strangers is one of the marks of a mature and godly believer. It's one of the outstanding characteristics of a believer who is mature and grown up in the faith. As Paul wrote to Timothy concerning those men who would be suitable to be elders within the church, and of course the elder is the mature believer. He's not the novice, he's the mature believer, the one who's grown up in the faith. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, speaking of the suitable men that would be able to occupy the eldership, he said to them in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, a bishop, which is an elder, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. See here that one of the qualifications of an elder is that they are given to hospitality. They are lovers of strangers. You think this is not an important issue? You think this isn't a big issue? Well, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, listen, look out men that are lovers of strangers. When you're lacking elders in your church, make sure they're lovers of strangers. Because this is a mark of a mature Christian and a godly man. Believers that are spiritually mature, Christians that are strong in the Lord, will love strangers. They will use hospitality without grudging. And the ripples of their lives will reach far and wide. May this be the case in the lives of God's people in this church. May those who come into contact with us be influenced for good and for God. May we have an impact. May we have that kind of life that makes a big splash, that's worth living, that will have an impact. Surely, Christian, is this not the life you want to live? Let's be such people. Let's behave like believers. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. May God be pleased to bless us true to our hearts this day for his own name's sake. Amen.